Good afternoon, Juno. It's 2:59 p.m. I'm your host, Ken Fix. I'm here for a Juno afternoon. You're listening to KTOO 104.3. Today on the show, I'll be talking with Debbie Bloom, who's going to preview her first Friday art exhibit at COPA. I also have a library update from Beth Weigel, a Jack First Friday exhibit from Suzanne Stoll. She'll be here to talk about that. I have a wearable art postcard from Scott Burton, and also have representative here for Arts Up. All that, we've got Bird Note, music, and more. And first is National Native News, so stay tuned. We're just getting started.
News, I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Southeast Alaska tribe is lauding its new administration. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Southeast Alaska tribe is lauding its new administration building for its energy efficiency, and as Margaret Freenauer reports, it's expected to save money.
Chilkoot Indian Association used to be located above a grocery store in downtown Haines. The rickety stairs made it difficult for elders to visit, and office space was tight. The tribe's new 5,200-square-foot building couldn't be more different. As Tribal Administrator Dave Berry gave a tour of the building recently, the obvious differences include the handicapped accessibility, the spacious offices, and the new council chambers that alone measure 450 square feet. But Berry said the star of the building is its energy efficiency. The nearly $2 million construction includes three paned windows and high-efficiency R50 insulation. The entire space is heated by a wood pellet system. Wood pellets are cheaper than heating fuel, the common heat source in rural Alaska, and the boiler is so efficient that the building burns only about 5 pounds of pellets a day, Barry said.
So we estimate it's a bag a day. Like I said, $6.06. It's unbelievable, the heating system. It is going to save this tribe a lot of money.
The tribe went with a pellet system for another reason, too. Chilkoot Indian Association is in the final design phase for building a pellet mill in Haines. The tribe right now has its pellets shipped in from British Columbia or Seattle. But the endeavor already has other local customers. The Haines local government is close to securing a grant that would install wood pellet systems in 10 of its buildings. A handful of businesses and residents have pellet heating systems, and the demand is growing. Reporting in Haines, Alaska, I'm Margaret Friednauer.
Six students at the Red Cloud High School on the Pine Ridge Reservation have been awarded a prestigious scholarship. As Jim Kent reports, that's twice the number of students of any South Dakota school to receive the scholarship and the most Red Cloud has seen in a single year.
The Horatio Alger Competitive Scholarship supports deserving young people who have overcome challenges in their lives in order to pursue higher education. Robin Johnson is principal of Red Cloud High School. She says the reservation doesn't necessarily lend to a positive learning environment for students.
It's hard to drive through parts of the reservation, but when you come to Red Cloud, you pull into the parking lot, you walk into the schools, it's clean, it's safe, and students are in the classrooms getting an education.
Johnson notes that attention to education is the focus at Red Cloud.
I'm sure the other schools do that as well. But here at Red Cloud, one of our top priorities is to maintain that high level of academics and to provide every opportunity possible to prepare them for college.
The Horatio Alger Association has awarded $100 million in scholarships to 20,000 students across the country since 1984. Students earn the scholarship by writing personal essays on overcoming adversity in their lives, those who inspired them, and their plans for confronting future challenges that may interfere with their life's dreams. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
The Pasqua, Yaqui, Tulalip, and Umatilla tribes are taking part in a pilot project under the Violence Against Women Act. The tribes will be the first in the nation to exercise special criminal jurisdiction over certain domestic and dating violence crimes, regardless of the defendant's Indian or non-Indian status. Provisions authorizing jurisdiction don't take effect until next year, but the project allows these tribes to begin sooner. During this week in 1985, Attu Battlefield and airfields located in the Aleutian Islands of Alaska became a National Historic Landmark. Attu is the site of the only World War II land battle in North America. It was occupied by Japanese troops and recaptured by Americans. Indigenous people of the Aleutian Islands were impacted by the war.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. The Convention and Tourism Department of the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce provides convention and event planning services for Native American organizations. Information at ahcnm.org. Support for National Native News comes from the Tribal Telecom 2014 Summit, February 10th through the 12th, bringing together tribes and industry partners to advance digital opportunities for tribal communities. On the web at tribaltelecomconference.com. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. It's 3.05 p.m. on KTOO, and with me in the studio is Debbie Bloom, who's going to talk about her art exhibit opening Friday at COPA. But first off, we had a really fascinating moment here. She wanted me to take a picture of her with her phone, and she not only has the exact same cell phone that I have, but the case is exactly the same, too, which I thought was just really kind of freaky coincidence. But suddenly I've got a new best friend.
We
Hi,
just
Debbie.
Want to make sure that we take our own phone.
Yeah,
phone.
Just make sure you take your own phone. I'll keep mine on this side. Okay. Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. And a longtime resident here in Juneau, and now you live in Anchorage, but you're still doing art. Tell us a little bit more about your exhibit.
Well, the exhibit's going to be tomorrow at COPA, and Mark Wheeler is actually an old friend from our days together at Big Brothers Big Sisters. So I had no idea that he had opened up this really cool place down here until recently, and we started talking about maybe showing some of my artwork, and that will happen tomorrow.
Okay, and how did you get interested in your art from the very beginning? Were you always into paintings, or did you go into different art fields before you got into painting and settled on that?
Well, I think I've always done some version of paintings, but even when I was young, I would try lots of different kinds of artwork, and my parents were really great about encouraging me to do anything from sculpture to paints to clay. So I've always done some version of artwork, but it's only been recent that I started to sell my work.
Okay, and tell me what pieces that you're drawn to, because I mentioned when you came in that I'd looked on the website and found a lot of birch tree paintings. So
yeah,
what's the fascination with those?
My close friends will know that I've been painting trees for a long time, and some of them have received them as birthday presents and little cards or paintings. But I love to paint trees, and they're a wonderful subject. There's seasons, and there's different kinds of trees, and they change in different light and with snow, and it's a terrific subject. And I could paint a lot of trees until people continued to say, you know, how about painting some animals? And I hadn't really considered that before, so I mostly did watercolors, and now I'm painting large acrylics, and it's been a great time, and they're being very well received here and in other states, too. So it's a new venture for me, but I'm thrilled to be able to do something that I've been passionate about for a long time and perhaps see that as my future profession.
Okay, so you have a day job, as they say, besides doing the artwork. What would
right,
that be?
Right. I've always worked in some version of public relations and communications, and my first 10 years were spent here in Juneau, 79 to 89, and that's where I kind of cut my teeth early in politics and worked for some governors and always in some communications, and then moved up to Anchorage in 1989 when the oil spill happened, and we needed more support there, and I stayed in Anchorage. But I still miss my friends here, and it'll be just a thrill to see so many folks that I haven't seen in a long time. Hopefully they'll come to the opening tomorrow, and it'll be like old home week.
I'm sure you get plenty of response. In addition to the landscapes, what other subjects are you drawn to in your art?
Well, I think that most recently I've been doing bears and otters and the different kinds of bears and some fish. I've got some paintings going of some fish from underwater following fish upstream. not quite done yet, so they're not here. But I like the idea of doing more Alaska wildlife. And most of my paintings are very bold, bright colors. I think that we live in kind of extreme climates, and it can be dingy sometimes with a lot of rain here in Southeast and up north, too. It's dark and cold in the winter, and I think that adding some bright colors to your walls is a good thing for all of us.
Well, I know that some people paint on site, but it's hard to get bears and otters and fish to pose for you. So
oh, no, it's
do you?
Not.
Oh, they just oblige you. That's really good. All right. So, do you take photographs and then work from those, or how? What's the process that you follow?
I do work from photographs. I look at lots of different photographs and then kind of settle on certain ideas and maybe take a face from one and water from another and. Draw out on a canvas what might look good, and then I go from there.
Okay. And how many pieces did you bring with you for your exhibit?
I think I have 12 pieces here, and I really wasn't quite sure of how much wall space there was going to be at COPA, but I think we'll hang the show tonight, and I think that will be a perfect number of paintings.
Okay. And... is there anything else that you'd like to add? Are these for sale, or is this just an exhibit and, you know, you can't buy any of what you see?
They are absolutely for sale.
Absolutely
for sale.
She needs to defray the cost of her trip.
And I do live in Anchorage. I'm hoping to bring nothing home.
Right.
Nothing home. Yeah.
Okay, so everything is available.
Everything is for sale, and I would be thrilled to sell out.
Okay, very good. And remind everybody where and when your exhibit is and also the address of your website.
The website is debbybloom.com. I know it's incredibly original, isn't it? DebbyBloom.com. You can go there and check out my work. It's a very simple site. There's only four navigation bars. So go to the latest and you might see some paintings that are going to be up here. And the show will be tomorrow night from 4 to 8 at COPA, and I hope to see lots of people there, and it's just a pleasure to be back in Juneau.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, Debbie, and we're going to play a song here because I got a lot of art and artists and wearable art exhibit coming up here this weekend, so I'm going to play a song by the Rolling Stones called She's a Rainbow. Everybody enjoy.
She's like a rainbow, coming in color, dimming the air.
That was the Rolling Stones with She's a Rainbow. Kind of appropriate with all my art-related guests and the wearable art weekend coming up here in the town. My next guest, however, is not part of the art stuff. Her name is Beth Weigel. She's here with an update on the library and the events coming up at the library. Hi, Beth. How are you?
Great. How are you? And you know what? The library, we have art things going on, you know?
Yes, you do.
We got books about art. And.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but mostly it's reading, though, I would think.
It's true. We do like to read at the
library.
I like to
read more than just look at the pictures.
That's right. Well, thanks. It's great to be here. And I like to come once a month and kind of give a little preview of the month ahead of all the things we've got going on at the library, because it's always a diverse selection of things. And I thought today, you know, I don't know you very well, but I decided that I was going to set you up on a blind date.
You did. You said, I don't know if my wife's going to like this one. But okay, you set me up on a blind date, but I've got a package in front of me,
uh-huh.
And Beth wants me to open this here
That's
on
right.
the air, and I have not seen what's inside this. So.
That's right. So it's a blind date with a book, and this has been an ongoing thing here we've had at the library. You can, you know, if you're getting a little tired of your usual reading habits, you can either, if you're a kid, take a chance on some new juvenile fiction or nonfiction book. And, you know, it's pretty fun for kids to unwrap a package and not quite know what they're getting. And for the adults, we're calling it Blind Date with a Book. And so your blind date is with...
It's called Unpuzzling Your Past, the Best-Selling Basic Guide to Genealogy.
Yeah, and I totally set you up because this is one of our other programs that's happening here at the library this month is a program on genealogy. So
I did see that on the website.
Yeah, so in addition to, you know, come in, check out the blind date with a book. It might be a fiction book of some author that you have never read or that you maybe are familiar with, and nonfiction as well. That's in addition to, of course, this genealogy program, which starts tonight.
Okay,
so
great.
Do you know much about your past?
Well, I know that my family came over from Germany with the Hellmans.
Ah.
And the Hellmans kind of got into the mayonnaise business.
Right.
And we really didn't get much of anything.
Right.
So.
Well, we have that in common, actually, because I have a German past as well. And,
yes,
and we
we're
both grew up
from
in
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe we're related, but we might be able to figure that out. So tonight, starting tonight, Alfreda Nord, she's a local community member, and she's been doing genealogy work for a lot of her life. She's particularly well-versed with Norwegian history. So tonight and then the subsequent two Thursdays, on the of the month, we're going to do some genealogy at the library. So tonight's just a little bit of an introduction to genealogy. Alfreda will give a little talk. We'll maybe get the computers out and show a little bit about how our databases and genealogy work. And the section of the library, of course, which we have our genealogy books there, 929. Of the Dewey Decimal System, you can check that section of the library
right.
out.
So I see that there is actually a Dewey Decimal Number
yep.
on the spine of this book,
That's right.
which means you want it back.
I do. You don't actually get to keep it as a date.
Okay.
But you can come by the library and you can check out your own blind date anytime this month. So those are some of the feature things going on this month at the library. And, you know, the blind date with the book kind of gives a little hint of romance, I know, and this is the month of romance, so Valentine's Day, of course, coming up. We also have a couple of special programs geared towards romance and Valentine's Day, both for adults and kids. So this Saturday, the 8th, we're going to do some Valentine Day card making. For all ages, family, out at the Valley Library. That's Saturday, starting at noon, so that'll be a fun time. And then we also have, every month, we have an ongoing program that we started called Author Tea, and it's the second Friday of the month, so it's over in Douglas. And this month, she's going to, Luann's going to kind of cozy up with the romance novels. So kind of come and talk about your favorite romance authors, and that'll be on actual Valentine's Day on Friday the 14th. So that's coming up. In addition, we've got a lot of ongoing programs throughout the month that happen, including movies, and we've got a movie for the whole family happening on also Saturday called Smart Cookies. So that's for the Girl Scouts as well as anybody who's interested in watching that movie, and I hear there might be some Girl Scout cookies there, and that's in Douglas this weekend. And then we also do a movie in Spanish once a month, and that's on Tuesday the 18th at the Douglas Library as well. And this month's movie in Spanish, spoken in Spanish, is The Odd Life of Timothy Green. So if you're trying to brush up on your Spanish skills, that's a good way to start introducing yourself to the language, is watching a movie in Spanish. And, of course, we have ongoing youth programs that happen every month as well. Our Teen Manga Club is meeting at Zach Gordon this Friday, the 7th, at 5 p.m. And if you're not familiar with manga, it's a certain kind of graphic novel. And so if you know what that is, then you might be interested. If you don't know what it is,
it's kind of the origins for a lot of what they would call Japanese animation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that started out with, like, Speed Racer and Ultraman and stuff like that. Well, Ultraman wasn't really animated, but Speed Racer definitely was.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward from there. But, yeah, Japanese animation's really come a long way from those early days in the 60s.
Right. So one of our library program people, Olga, she's kind of created this program for teenagers at Zach Gordon. So it seems to be a genre that teenagers really relate to. And in addition, another one of our ongoing youth programs that's pretty popular is our Family Nights, and that's on the third Thursday of every month. And we're getting into the spirit of the art, you know, scene that you've been talking about, and we're doing a little family night around wearable arts. So that'll be the third Thursday. It'll be after the big wearable arts this weekend is over, of course, but kids and families can come, and we'll make some little fun wearable art costumes. Maybe we'll be able to highlight a couple of the kids that are in the wearable arts this weekend as well. So those are some of the things that are going on this month. And if we have a little time, I wanted to preview something big that's going to be happening next month at the library that you'll start to hear about all this month.
Of course.
Of course.
You're not running Beauty and the Beast, are you, for Valentine's Day?
No, unfortunately we're not.
I love that because there's one scene in there where the Beast is talking to Cogsworth the clock, and he says, "Well, what would I do for her?" And Cogsworth says, "Well, there's the usual, flowers, chocolates, promises you don't intend to keep." That just cracks me up. That's like more for adults. I don't know if the kids even got that. But
right.
God, it's a classic.
Yeah. Well, we do have the master of the language of love. We're going to do a Bardathon in March, and this is what I've been calling a community reading of all of Shakespeare's works. And it's going to be a week long. 8 days, actually, in March 8th to the 15th, and we're going to go 24 hours. We're going to read 39 plays, two sort of longer poems, and then as many sonnets as we can get in a three-hour period or so. And we're going to do this 24 hours a day, so round the clock. Not everything will be at the library, but we'll be sharing the reading space with Perseverance Theater. So sometimes we'll be at Perseverance Theater, sometimes we'll be at the Douglas Library, and sometimes we'll be at the Downtown Library. And we're going to kick everything off on March 8th with A Midsummer Night's Dream. We're expecting the Queen to show up and maybe even Shakespeare himself. And it'll be a great time. And I keep telling people it's kind of like the folk festival of Shakespeare, right? And so everybody can come and participate and read. If you don't want to read out loud, you can sit and listen. We're going to have a couple of options for connecting in with it through our Online with Libraries OWL system. So you can be at a different library anywhere in the state and connect in with it. Or you can, you know, call in through a bridge line phone. We'll hopefully also have some sort of streaming that we'll be able to, you know, you can be at home and just kind of listen.
Great.
And
so
this is really the best way. Yeah,
it's okay.
The best way to grasp Shakespeare and to enjoy it. So we're hoping it becomes a community tradition, and you'll start seeing a lot of things about the Bardathon here this month.
Right. You'll have to give me that calendar or let me know where it's at, because
yeah.
I told you what my two favorites
are.
Now,
what were they again?
As You Like It.
Uh-huh.
That's probably my favorite. And Taming of the Shrew is the other one.
Uh-huh. Let me see if I can find them real quick on here. Let's see. As You Like It is going to be, and Taming of the Shrew. I should have written it down ahead of time, but they're definitely in there. Taming of the Shrew is going to be on day 6, so March 13th, Thursday. It's going to be one of the 6 p.m. premiere shows at the Downtown Library, so that'll be fun. And I think As You Like It is on day 3, March 10th at 3 o'clock. So I expect you Ken, to be there to come and read with us.
Oh, I should be there for at least one or both of those.
Yeah.
Thursday I can definitely do. But, Taming of the Shrew, is that's a classic. There's been a lot of different versions
exactly.
of that through the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And As You Like It is a rather upbeat tale, as opposed to some of the other Shakespeare tragedies like Romeo and Juliet. As You Like It is actually rather, it's a pretty funny one, and it's got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
so.
That's why we're going to kick off the whole Bardathon on March 8th with A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's a fun one as well.
That's a good one.
And
yeah.
we expect people might come in some sort of Shakespearean costume or appropriate costume to Midsummer Night's Dream, and then...
Or at least bring your ale with you.
Well, not at the library.
Not at the library.
And, and then we're going to read for 8 days and end with Hamlet. So it's going to be an awesome time. Start looking for all that promotion and how to sign up if you want to be a part of it soon, next week.
Okay, Beth. And anything else that you wanted to add? The website for the library would be?
It's juno.org/library. We also have a Facebook page, so facebook.com/library events. And also just a reminder to folks that we do are closed on President's Day on that Monday of President's Day. So we'll be closed that day.
Okay, and just a reminder to everybody, if you missed it, if it went by too fast while we were talking about it, please check it out online. There's a lot of events coming up in the library. Beth, thank you very much for being my guest in the studio today.
All right, thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 6th of February, 2014. It's the birthday of Tom Brokaw, born in Webster, South Dakota, 1940, anchor of the NBC Nightly News for more than two decades, and author of The Greatest Generation, about the men and women who came of age in the Great Depression and served in World War II. It's the birthday of Michael Pollan, born Long Island, 1955, the author of best-selling books about food, The Botany of Desire, The Omnivore's Dilemma, In Defense of Food, and Food Rules, whose nutrition philosophy is eat food, not too much, mostly plants. It's the birthday of the man who wrote Come Live With Me and Be My Love, and We Will All the Pleasures Prove, Christopher Marlowe, Canterbury, England, 1564. It's the birthday of a lexicographer who brought out a dictionary of slang before scholars considered that a serious subject, Eric Partridge, born New Zealand, 1894. He came out with A Dictionary of the Underworld in 1949. And it was on this day, 1937, John Steinbeck's novella of Mice and Men was published. He wrote it while living in a little three-room vacation cottage near Monterey Bay in California. At first, the book was titled Something That Happened, but then he came across the poem by Robert Burns, The Best Laid Schemes of Mice and Men Gang Aft Aglay, and took the title from that. In the spring of 1936, Steinbeck was making great progress on the book, and then his puppy chewed up half of the manuscript. Steinbeck wrote to a friend, "My setter pup, left alone one night, made confetti of about half of my manuscript book. 2 months' work to do over again. There was no other draft. I was pretty mad, but the poor little fellow may have been acting critically." The work went quickly, and he managed to get the work to his publisher a few months later. Of Mice and Men got great reviews, and then, with the help of the playwright George S. Kaufman, Steinbeck made it into a play. Here's a poem for today by Shelley, Percy Bysshe Shelley, entitled To a Singer. My soul is an enchanted boat, which like a sleeping swan doth float upon the silver waves of thy sweet singing. And thine doth like an angel sit beside a helm conducting it, whilst all the winds with melody are ringing. It seems to float ever for ever upon that many-winding river between mountains, woods, abysses, a paradise of wildernesses, till like one in slumber bound, born to the ocean, I float down around into a sea profound of ever-spreading sound. Meanwhile, thy spirit lifts its pinions in music's most serene dominions, catching the winds that fan that happy heaven, and we sail on, away, afar, without a course, without a star, but by the instinct of sweet music driven, till through Elysian garden islets, by thee, most beautiful of pilots, where never mortal pinnace glided, the boat of my desire is guided. Realms where the air we breathe is love, which in the winds on the waves doth move, harmonizing this earth with what we feel above. To a Singer by Percy Bysshe Shelley. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app. Available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 3:32 on Juno afternoon. It's Thursday, February 6, 2014, and in the studio, my guest now is Suzanne Stahl. She's going to talk about her first Friday exhibit at the Jack. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about your exhibit that's coming up.
Well, the name of the exhibit is Roadside Attractions, and what I like to paint is things that are very readily accessible and maybe overlooked. Most of the locations will be familiar to people in Juneau. A lot of them are very accessible from the road. A few of them you maybe have to hike a little bit, but mostly on pretty accessible trails. I'm not going back into the backcountry or doing anything
not
exotic.
All the way back to the Herbert Glacier to do something. Yeah.
No.
That's a long way.
Well, I have done some hiking and stuff in the past, but that's not the sort of thing that I'm painting. I really like to paint the things that we see all around us every day, and I like to find the beauty in those scenes that we see constantly. There are a lot of pieces that are winter pieces in the show, and there are also some that are in the summer season and in the fall. I don't think I have any spring pieces, or at least not very many.
Okay, and you did mention, I mentioned before we started, one piece that I saw online is called Fish Creek February. Tell me a little bit more about Fish Creek and its importance to you and your late husband.
Yeah, my late husband was John Stoll, and I'm sure that name might be familiar still to some people in Juneau, although he passed away about 3 years ago. He was a pretty well-known artist in town, and one of the things that he liked to do is fly fish, and there are several places in Juneau where we spent a lot of time, Those times when he was fishing, that I think is what led me to start doing landscape painting. Fish Creek was one of the places that we went. He more often went out to Peterson Creek and the impoundment by Amalga Harbor, where the creek goes into the impoundment, was one of his favorite places to fish. But he also did fish at Fish Creek. And this particular painting, I was out and about looking for subject matter to paint and saw Fish Creek at this particular moment when there had been some thawing and some areas in the creek where the water was thawed out. And there was snow, enough snow that it was piled up here and there, and there were some parts of the creek that were still frozen and still covered in snow. And I liked the pattern that the open water made in the snow on the creek. it was pretty late in the day, and I was looking toward the mouth of the creek, so it kind of has a little bit of that late afternoon light.
Okay, and do you paint on plein air, as they say, or you know, which basically means that she goes out there on the site in her boots and coat and starts painting until she's done?
I usually don't. I've done a little bit of that, but in Juneau, it's really very difficult because, as we all know, the weather here changes very frequently. So in addition to having bad weather in the winter that you have to contend with, sometimes you know, you'll get one of those sucker holes, and the sun will come out, and it'll change everything because the light all changes when the sun comes out.
Right.
And the shadows change, and it's to paint outside here, you have to paint very quickly. And I did work on that for a long time to get to where I could do more painting outside. But mostly I work in the studio. I do a little bit of sketching and stuff outside, and I do a little bit of painting, but most of the painting is studio painting.
Okay, do you paint from photographs or just from what you remember from life?
I use photographs to some degree, although I don't slavishly follow them. I use the photographs to remind me what I saw, and I don't paint from photographs that are not things that I took on site, because I really want to remember what struck me about that scene. I think I said in my statement that what I'm trying to do is paint the beauty that you can see in these things all around us pretty much any time and anywhere. And to do that, you have to capture the feeling that went along with that experience of finding the beauty that's out there if you open your eyes and look. So that's a big part of what I'm trying to capture.
Okay, and as far as the lighting times of day, which do you prefer, something early morning, mid-afternoon?
Well,
or does it depend on the location as to when you know the light is going to be best?
I don't think I look for any particular light, although obviously evening, if you've lived in Juneau any time at all, sometimes in the evening you get really nice effects on the snow and ice in the wintertime. As the sun is going down, you get a lot of pink color and things like that as the night, evening comes on. I'm not much of a morning person, so I don't have any sunrise paintings because I'm not one who likes to get up that early. But I think it has more to do with being open to what you see around you at the times that you find to go out and do this activity. So I don't think it really matters what time of day it is. I think, you know, you can find something that's beautiful pretty easily almost any time of day. And it's all around. Juneau is a very beautiful place, and there's beautiful mountains and the glacier and all of this stuff that's creates a sense of awe in a way. I don't think you need to look in those places. Sometimes you can find beautiful things in places that are completely overlooked. One of the winter paintings I have is done from the hillside just across from where the Twisted Fish is over against the mountain. And it's just a pattern in the snow with the trees and rocks along that little wall there. But it's things like that you can find beauty in that don't really seem like a destination. You wouldn't sort of go there thinking you were going to find something beautiful. But to me, that's the
right,
really...
Right, because that sounds like it's underneath the tram.
Well, it is kind of.
Kind of underneath the
well,
tram.
Well, it's kind of like where there was an old mine entrance. There.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah, it's kind of right where that is, or pretty close to that. But things like that, if you open your eyes and look, you know, those things are everywhere. So I think, to me, it's more about finding that beauty in that moment.
Okay, and is most of your art landscape, or have you done any portraiture or other subjects as well?
For this show, it's all landscape. When I was young, I used to do a lot of figure drawing, and I used to think maybe I would do some portrait stuff, but I haven't done that for a long time. Mostly, I'm painting landscape these days, and to me, like I said, it has to do with that sense that you get, that you found some kind of a sugar cube or something that makes life a little sweeter when you find that beauty in the surroundings around us.
Okay, and remind everybody about the show, where it's located, and the times for your exhibit.
It's at the Jack, and it will be 4:30 to 7:30 this evening. And not this evening, tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow evening,
I'm
yes,
sorry.
It's Friday. Yeah, first Friday exhibit.
Yeah, it is Friday. And you're welcome to come on down. There'll be some food. I have giclée prints as well as originals, and it should be a good time.
Okay, very good. Suzanne Stahl, thank you very much for being our guests on the Juno Afternoon today.
Okay, thank you.
Attention artists, galleries, and business owners. It's almost time for February 1st, Friday, and we want to add your event to our interactive, mobile-friendly art map. Please send a brief description and photo of the artist's work to heather@k2.org, and don't forget to use the map at k2.org as you get ready for February 1st, Friday.
This is Bird Note. We have many examples of music inspired by birdsong, but there are also composers who've used actual bird sounds in their works. Ottorino Respighi may have been the first composer to use recorded birdsong in his 1923 work, The Pines of Rome. And here's a piece from Finnish composer Eino Huoni Ratuvaara. Cantus Arcticus, also known as Concerto for Birds and Orchestra. In 2007, German producer Dominik Uhlberg released this track, made entirely with sampled bird sounds. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. It's 3:44 p.m. I'm Ken Fix, your host for today. And with me in the studio now is Nancy DeCherney, and she'll be here to talk about what's up with the arts. And we've been doing a lot of arts today, so I may have stolen your thunder with a few previous guests. But
That's
go
right.
ahead,
That's
let us
right.
know what's going on.
Well, we'll hit the first Friday
tops first. You were just talking with Suzanne Stoll. She's opening at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council Friday night. And, of course, you want to come by the council first because then you get your little guide that you can walk around and know where you're going. Also happening at the Jack on First Friday is the Rotary Annual Wine Auction. So that'll be something that you could sort of wind up the evening with, so to speak.
A wine auction?
Yes.
All right.
Already there. You're there, right? Okay. Well, I'll just do these in alphabetical order. The Alaska Robotics Gallery has the annual student show of comic arts. Kids from K through 12, their comic work is really fun, and they'll be open the usual first Friday days. The Alaska State Museum, this is the last opening before the museum closes for an extended period of time while it becomes a new and improved building. It is the 29th Earth, Fire, and Fiber exhibit. Locally, Sandy Mander from Juneau is one of the people who was selected to be in that exhibit, and she will be at the opening. The museum is always free on First Friday, so come on down and see that before you can't go to the museum anymore. So
that's coming up pretty soon.
Yes,
what's the closing date?
I think it's the end of February. So this is, like I said, your last thing. The Alaskan Brewing Depot has new Alaskan brews. They'll have live music with Tramwreck. And they say if you wear flannel, you'll get 15% off your purchase during the event. It didn't say flannel what, so it's up to you.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
You can do whatever.
Would anybody believe what you had on underneath in flannel?
Annie Kales is showing Jenna O'Fontanella's jewelry. It is, of course, Valentine's Day coming up, so you might want to pay careful attention to some of these jewelry exhibits that are coming. Aunt Claudia's Dolls will be open, as usual, Friday afternoon and also on Saturday, so you can take that in. Changing Tides, which is upstairs in the Senate building, has Betsy from Pepper Bear Studio doing mixed media things. COPA, over by the Federal Building, has Debbie Bloom doing acrylics and watercolors. I don't know what the flavor of the ice cream is for the day, but something special, no doubt.
Okay, well, her artwork is pretty fabulous because she was just here. She was my first guest.
And
Debbie and I had the exact same cell phones. I'm not kidding. Even the cases were identical.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the exact same blue case. Uh-huh. On a Galaxy S3.
Well,
just unbelievable.
I've
got a new best friend.
All righty then. Fairweather Gallery will be open. They have Patty Jones with her pottery, and they have special refreshments. So stop in there. GCI is going to be open with refreshments and some kind of special, perhaps on blue case galaxies. I don't know.
Either that or a discount on your phone and internet service.
Yes, whatever. So let's see. The Gold Belt Hotel. I don't know if you've ever noticed when you go there, there's this wonderful collection of Tlingit art. They are going to start being open on First Fridays, and this First Friday there will be a guided tour by Tina Decker.
Is that when you first walk in before you go into the Zen?
Yeah. Quite a collection of artwork, and it's fine stuff, so she'll be talking all about it. So stop in there during your walk. At the Juno Artist Gallery, Abby Foch jewelry will be on display. The Juno's Douglas City Museum does its annual 12 by 12. The theme this year is black and white. And Barbara Mitchell will be in the gift shop with her jewelry. So it's many opportunities here. Miners Postal is doing a special event with the Juno Photo Group and Opera to Go. It's an evening for the birds. It's sort of highlighting the Bennu birds that's coming up very shortly. The opera that Rory Stitt has been commissioned to do for Opera to Go. And you guys here at K2 have a wonderful exhibit all about the Douglas Pump House. I was looking at them as I came up. Some great photos, great paintings, great collages. The Douglas Pump House, it's iconic, so you should come and stop into K2 for that one. Northern Oasis Wellness Spa will be open. They have artwork by Char Fox, and they have some special Valentine gifts that you could pick up. Rainforest Yoga does their yoga for First Friday is playful yoga. It's for all levels, and it's with Sandy Sheridan. They do that from 5:15 to 6:15. Let's see. The Silver Bow Backroom has Trout Unlimited with Jill White put that together. The Canvas has Timmy Johnson. She does oil paintings of still lifes and portraits and all sorts of wonderful things. Pie in the Sky will be open, so that's a good little tip there, too. The Rookery has photography by Kaylee Magui, We Find Our Way. Sorry about that. The benefit, this is a exhibit sort of, I don't want to say celebrating, but observing domestic violence and sexual assault, and the proceeds from sales of the photography will benefit AWARE. I was in looking at the photographs, they're really quite nicely done. Zephyr has live music, so that you got quite a bit of stuff to do on First Friday, just in case you were afraid you were going to be sitting home. You won't be.
There's always something to do.
Yeah. So do you want to run through some of the rest of the stuff that we got?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead and run a few other things.
That's how it works here. Sitka Summer Music Festival, also on Friday night.
I've been to that.
Okay,
yeah,
you got
good.
That. You don't want to hear about that anymore. Okay. Fireside Lecture Series, you talk about that? Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. That's the out of the Mendenhall Glacier. They do that at 6:30 and at 8. It's free, and it's a discussion this week of the nature of Southeast Alaska. The UAS Sound and Motion Art Series begins. Transcendentalists, Puritans, and Pilgrims, the author that was just on the New York Times bestseller list, he'll be out there. Saturday, we have a second Saturday market going on at the Airport Mall. There is a comic drawing workshop with Inari Kailanen at Alaska Robotics on Saturday at 3. The Canvas is having a fundraiser dinner at 6 p.m. at the Canvas. But Wearable Arts is happening, and I just want to say right now, yes, it's sold out both days, but we will probably be able to get most everybody who wants to get in. So if you have been sorry that you don't have tickets, do come. 7 o'clock on Saturday, show up at the door, 3 o'clock on Sunday, and we'll do our very best to get you in. On Sunday, also, the Rookery is going to be open at 7 for dinner. There, Daniel Kirkwood will be playing music there, so you could do the Sunday wearable art and then go out for supper. It'll be quite a nice thing. There's a Blues Fusion Night Sunday social dance party at the Alaskan Bar also on Sunday. Let's see. We wanted to talk about a few other little things that we wanted to make sure people... Mud Rooms is on Wednesday, and the theme is On the Road... Real stories, real people. Mudrooms is actually getting a Mayor's Award for the Art on Sunday for this wonderful program that they've started in Juneau, and people are just loving. They do it at Northern Light United Church. It's $7 at the door, 7 stories. Each person gets 7
right.
minutes. Yeah.
It's all just personal tales.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very exciting and moving and fun and all that sort of stuff. So you got a full week of things to do. If you need more information about this, we encourage you to come to the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council website, which is jahc.org, and just pull it up and get all the details.
Well, Nancy, thank you very much for being our guest in the studio again today.
Well, thank you for having me. I look forward to seeing you at something.
You're welcome. Yeah, I hope to see you soon. And the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council Wearable Art Show is this weekend at Centennial Hall. Now in its 14th year, the theme is Technicolor, and artists have been preparing for months. KTOO's Scott Burton caught up with 3 of the participants and filmed short profiles, which will be playing excerpts from this week. So here's the one for today on Thursday. Enjoy, and again, it's sold out, but like Nancy said, they might still be able to get you in, so hope is not lost yet.
My name is Kathy Karchner, and I'm a nurse practitioner. That's what I do here in Juneau. I work in 2 different arenas. I work in the emergency department as a nurse practitioner. I work for Juneau Emergency Medical Associates, a great group of docs that work with the hospital. And then we started a business, Blue Muscle Aesthetics, about 2 years ago with my business partner, Rebecca Young. When I first came to Juneau, I started going to the show, like a lot of people, because it just fascinates me what other people come up with. And I sat in the audience for probably 3 or 4 years thinking, that is so amazing. And then I had this idea in my head the first year that I did it. My son drinks an incredible amount of milk, and every time I would go recycle my milk cartons, I would think, I should do something with these milk cartons. And finally, I'm like, I'm going to make something. When I did the milk jug dress, I wanted it to sound like something, I know that sounds strange, but I wanted it to make this swishing sound because the way that plastic rubs together, I thought was just super cool. Everyone loved the way the milkmaid dress moved, and so I thought the muscle dress would move really well, but once I got down to how it was all going to come together, I couldn't really make that happen. So it sounded like a giant wind chime when you like jumped up and down with it. If you go out and look at the beach, you'll see our beach is just entirely mussels all winter long. So that was, you know, part of it as I looked at mussels all the time. And then, so you had to pick each one up, and, you know, I kind of made them all a certain size-ish. And then I had to clean them all. I scrubbed them all. I put them in like a little bit of bleach water for like a day or two. And then I scrubbed them all so they wouldn't smell. That was the big deal. And then I drilled a hole through every mussel and then dipped them in lacquer and let them all dry. And then I had to make a dress, and then I had to attach them to the dress. So it was step by step for each muscle, which there were thousands of them. It took me, I worked on it for months, like 3 months. I totally love taking something that is whatever, you know, you use it every day for whatever you use it for, and then using it into some entirely different fashion that is either completely unrecognizable or is interesting. So this year is very different for me because I have a dress that I'm not using something that already exists, and that's actually a little bit hard for me. I have always wanted to use something that is already here in some other fashion. I usually model my dresses, so this year I'm not modeling for the first time. I got models partially because I have more than one dress, but because I find that part really scary. I wanted to have kind of two opposing dresses, and so one was pretty opposite of the other dress. It's not really going to turn out quite like that, because I've run out of time. And I was hoping to have a third dress that sort of combined those two into one piece. I might make a whole new dress between now and next week. I'll get back to you on that one.
Support for this program comes from Art Matters, providing 25 years of custom framing services for prints, photos, and much more, plus an on-site gallery showcasing Alaskan prints and posters. More information at 789-4370.
You're listening to KTOO 104.3 in Juneau. It's 3:57 p.m., and you're still listening to a Juneau Afternoon. Well, we've got an event coming up here live at the Rockwell Ballroom for two shows. Thursday, February 13th at 8 p.m. and Friday, February 14th at 9 p.m. It's a Celtic rock band called the Young Dubliners. They're quite possibly Celtic rock's hardest working band. They play hundreds of shows to thousands of fans across the U.S. and Europe every year. And in recent years, they've twice appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live on ABC. They've had songs featured in TV shows like The Sons of Anarchy and Human Target. And they've toured most extensively as a headliner and as an opener for The Flaming Lips, Collective Soul, Jethro Tull, Johnny Lang, and many more. So I'm going to let you hear a little bit of one of the songs by the Young Dubliners. This one's called Touch the Sky. And prior to that, though, this is KTOO in Juneau. We rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley in Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K201AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable Digital Channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. And support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Everyone have a great day, take care, and be good to each other.
Yeah. basically, the only thing that there's real bipartisan agreement on from the parties is let's try to sweep this under the rug for a little bit longer.
With the deficit fading as a political issue, what about the long-term debt?
Today is Thursday, February 6th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.